Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. One of my favorite guys in music, not just Nashville, but everywhere. I think I was the guy that coined the phrase, the P.T. Barnum of country music. It's my guy, J.R., John Rich. How are you, pal?
Man, I'm good. Running the three-ring circuit. It might be a five-ring circuit at this point. There's a lot going on, man. Good to talk with you.
You never stop. And I just get excited for you by the way you've molded your career, because we see people come and go, but you always reinvent yourself. And I've got so much I want to talk to you about. I guess what I want to start with first is, I saw a tweet the other day that you had mentioned Billy Ray, and you'd mentioned Little Nas X. And I know the song, you know, Old Town Road is causing controversy with some, because some people say it's not country enough, or what's it doing in country? And I guess that's a question that changes every 5-6 years, although these days it seems like it changes every 5 to 6 minutes. You know, we see guys like Kane Brown, Jimmy Allen come into the format, but you're a guy that's been cutting edge for so long, some people forget about a guy named Cowboy Troy.
That's right. So, listen, first of all, before we get into Old Town Road and Cowboy Troy and all that, I have searched out over the decades now of my career, which sounds funny to say because I'm 45, but I have multiple decades of doing this because I started so young. I remember going to lunch one day with Eddie Arnold. Okay, and if your listeners don't know who Eddie Arnold is, go look him up. Eddie Arnold's one of the only artist that had a top 40 song in 5 different decades. And Eddie Arnold sat with me at lunch one day, and he said, I hear your kind of country music, it's a little different than what's regularly going on. I said, yeah, I've heard it's a little different. He goes, well, don't let that bother you, he said, because guess what they told me when I showed up in country music in the 40s? I said, what? He said, they told me I wasn't country because I had a string section backing me up on a couple of my ballads, and every now and then I'd wear a tuxedo because that's just, I wanted to dress up, and I like the sound of a string section behind a couple of my slower songs. And they told me I was pop and that I should be out doing shows with guys like Glenn Miller and Count Basie, and that I had no business being in country music. He says, of course, now 50, 60 years into my career, you know, I'm in the Country Music Hall of Fame. Well, the point being is, you know, when Johnny Cash came to Nashville, they said, we don't know what that is, but it is not country. When Conway Twitty came to Nashville, they said,
God,
he's an Elvis impersonator.
Right.
Who is this guy?
What's with that hair?
Get this idiot out of our town. And Alabama, they said, that's just Lynyrd Skynyrd light. We don't know what that is, but we've already got a Lynyrd Skynyrd, and they're definitely not country. And you can keep going through these examples of people who are now the biggest, greatest all-time acts of country music. Charlie Daniels, you tell me if this sounds like rap to you. The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind, and he was willing to make a deal. Does that sound like rap to you?
You know what? I've said that all along, and I said Charlie Daniels was Charlie Daniels did rap before Urban ever did rap.
People that want to tear down guys like Lil Nas and all these guys, they don't understand the history of country music well enough to understand that this is just another incarnation of what's been done for 60 years. I mean, people have been, they take their country music, their version of it, and they make their country music. The fans ultimately decide whether it's going to be a hit or not, not the music industry. As much as they'd like to control what everybody thinks about everything, if it was up to them, Big and Rich would have never been on the radio. Big and Rich would have never done anything if it was totally left up to the music industry. The fans determined that Big and Rich should be something that would last a long time, and they're the ones that ran out and bought the records and requested the music and came to all the concerts. So that's where I come down to a guy like Cowboy Troy. 1993, I'm playing bass in the band Lone Star before we had a record deal or anything, playing in all the bars down in Texas. And I look down on the dance floor, I'm up there playing, and I see this 6'5", 260-pound black guy in a cowboy hat, and I went, well, that's odd. I remember seeing that, seeing him two-step. And and he was having such a blast all night. I'm like, I got to meet this guy, man. I've never seen anything like that. Think about it, in 1993.
Right.
And so when the thing was over, I went down. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. We're packing up our stuff, and I introduced myself. He introduces himself as Cowboy Troy. And I said, why do you call yourself Cowboy Troy? And he goes, oh, that's my rap name. I said, you're a rapper? He goes, yeah, I rap to country music.
Right on.
I said, give me a break, man. Nobody raps to country music. He goes, I do. I said, okay, rap something. So I think like George Strait or something was playing over the speakers. And he starts rapping. And then he starts rapping in Spanish and English and back and forth. And my eyes are bugging out of my head going, this might be the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. And so we exchanged phone numbers, stayed friends for that next 10 years. And then when Big and Rich, when we cut our very first record, I had told Big Kenny about Cowboy Troy. And Troy had come to Nashville a few times to jam with us at Music Mafias. And Kenny and I were like, we got to put Troy on this record and put some sunlight on this guy. Let the world check this dude out. We put him on there. And next thing you know, Tim McGraw is putting us on tour and says, I'm putting you on tour, but I've got to have Cowboy Troy. And so McGraw gets behind him. Then he puts out I Play Chicken with the Train. The guy sells close to 1 million records and is now pretty much if you know country music, you know Cowboy Troy. And so that was a precursor to what you're seeing happen now, I think, in a lot of country music, and especially with the brand new stuff like Old Town Road. It's got roots that go back a long time.
The voice you hear there is John Rich, Lone Star, Big and Rich. Of course, he's done many things on his own, a songwriter extraordinaire, worked with the likes of Taylor Swift. And the next thing I want to talk to you about, brother, is the new women movement in Nashville. Now, I know when you look at the Kacey Musgraves and the Maren Morrises, and there's a whole Women in Nashville group saying, damn it, we need to be on the air. We need more radio play. We need to be noticed. This is something you've been involved with, too. I mean, let's go back to, I mean, Loretta was groundbreaking. For anybody that thinks they're groundbreaking now, I say go back to Loretta Lynn and listen to her back in the 70s singing about the pill.
Right.
But I digress.
And Dolly.
Right on. And Dolly, and the list goes on and on and on, and Tammy.
Yep.
And let's move up a few years and talk about a young lady out of Illinois that you Gretchen Wilson was as groundbreaking a female artist as any.
Definitely. And yeah, Gretchen, you know, Pocahontas, Illinois, middle of nowhere, grew up in a trailer, nothing fancy, didn't graduate high school until she was in her late 30s, you know, dropped out of school. But an incredible talent, and what a life story she has. And so she and I became friends. She was actually bartending in this bar that me and Kenny used to hang out in, a blues bar in Nashville. We heard her get up and sing one night, and I just said, you got to be kidding me. What did I just hear? And so we went up and extended our hand and said, hey, I want to be friends with you. Holy cow, what a voice. And over the course of the next couple of years, we started writing a lot of songs together. She thought she would never make it, because at that time it was Shania Twain, Faith Hill, Martina McBride. It was glamour, more pop edge country, really, you know, high gloss videos and all that stuff. And she said, I'm never going to make it if that's what I have to do. I said, well, who says you have to do that? She goes, well, apparently that's what you have to do to make it. But, you know, I'm just a redneck woman. And I said, yeah, that's exactly what you are. Guess what? Tens of millions of women across the United States, they will identify with you faster than they will identify with who's currently on the radio. I said, Gretchen, go back and look at your Loretta Lynn's. Instead of sanding off your edges, put a magnifying glass on the rough parts that you have. And guess what? If you got enough courage to do that in your music, I think tens of millions of people will identify with you, and you will become an iconic figure. And so we write Redneck Woman, and we write Here for the Party and all these other songs, and you know the rest of the story. She is an iconic figure.
You know, it's interesting because you're untraditional the way you've molded your career. Now, when you were with Lone Star, that band fit what Nashville wanted. You guys were all good looking. You were pretty. You're singing the songs to the ladies. It worked. Then you move on to the next segment, and then you go from music to finding people, and you delve into all these different things that make you, you know, make you the P.T. Barnum of country radio and or country music, and it keeps you moving forward. Now, there's a lot of people in this industry especially people that are starting out, they don't want to touch any of the hot button issues. And as a radio guy, you know, I don't want to sit here and talk to people and go, well, tell me where you were at this point. What was your mood when you were making this record? I give a crap. You mean you aren't afraid? You wrote a song for John McCain called Raising McCain. You were on Celebrity Apprentice. By the way, Celebrity Apprentice, where he raised almost $1.3 million for St. Jude Hospital. If you don't know what St. Jude Children's Hospital is, it's the most wonderful organization in the world. John Rich, I know I know that was your charity for The Apprentice, but we all in country radio, that's who we give money to. I want to ask you, the song, Shut Up About Politics. I've heard the song. I know you did it with some folks from Fox, but you never shut up about politics, brother.
and that was kind of the point. I'm telling it to myself as much as anybody else. You know, we need to discuss politics in this country, especially with people that we disagree with, so we can kind of try to understand each other better. However, when you go to a concert or you watch an award show or a football game, there's got to be some places where we can find refuge away from that conversation, where we can just be Americans, be buddies, be friends, hang out, get back to actually liking each other for, even if it's just for a few events, a few moments like that, then we can get back to our big debate. And that's kind of how I feel about it. And I think most Americans, whether they're left, right, center, wherever they find themselves on the spectrum, feel the exact same way. But the media and entertainment industry does not allow us a chance to ever get away from it. And so this little song, Shut Up About Politics, was my way of saying, guys, let's just shut up about it just for a minute and get back to being friends. The song says, I got something that'll fix us all up. Take a shot of my whiskey from a big red cup and shut up about politics.
It
resonated and hit such a bell with America that it actually became the number one most downloaded song in country music and the number two most downloaded song across all genres behind, guess what, Old Town Road. Old Town was still number one. Shut Up was number two, right behind it. 100% of every download, which is only 99 cents to download Shut Up About Politics, 100% goes back to the Folds of Honor, which is a group that puts kids through college who lost a parent in combat fighting for our country, which is also, by the way, non-political. The military fights for everybody. They don't fight for you because you're a Democrat or a Republican. They fight for you because you're an American. And so that's why I thought that was a great place to put those downloads.
You know, now let's talk about the Redneck Riviera, not the club, but Redneck Riviera whiskey. It's the same thing. You've been a supporter of our military for so long, and I think, you know, that's what I mean, if we have a common goal in this country, we need to do that. We need to take care of our veterans, first responders. We need to take care of PTSD, which is a huge, huge problem right now. Talk about your whiskey. We'll get into Granny Rich, and I want to talk about what Folds means to you and how you just continue to support, and I just love it.
Well, so Redneck Riviera Whiskey is now in 48 states. In 18 months. It's a new brand, but it is virtually nationwide at this point. In a state like Illinois, it started off with like Jewel Osco and Benny's and places like that. Well, buddy, as of about a month ago, we are now nationally distributed at Walmart. I mean, the biggest stores out there are now carrying Redneck Riviera American Blended Whiskey. So I've always been a Crown Royal guy, which is Canadian blended whiskey, and I thought to myself, I've been drinking Canadian blended. Where's the American blended? And I walked in a couple of liquor stores and I said, hey, can you show me where your American blended whiskey is? And every time I ask that, they look at me and go, we don't have anything called that. I thought to myself, I can't believe nobody's ever tried to develop something like that. So in 2017, I went to work on it with a master distiller, and we worked on it about 9 months. Went through almost 200 variations of this blend, and finally got it to where it was so smooth and had no bite, no burn, so smooth that it became Granny Rich approved, who she's been sipping whiskey since World War II. And I thought to myself, what's the point in putting out a whiskey if I can't have a cocktail with my 87-year-old Granny Rich? There is no point. If you know me well, you know I would rather not have one than have one that Granny won't drink. So it is Granny Rich approved. It's all over the United States. My glass is made in America. My corks are made in America. All the whiskey is American whiskey blended to make that taste. And because I own it, Ray, I don't endorse Redneck. I own it. I own the intellectual property rights to the phrase. I own the recipe. I own it. There's a big difference in those two. Because I own it, I get to determine how much it costs in a store. And you know my story, but I grew up in a double-wide trailer in Texas. Nothing fancy. You know, month-to-month kind of paycheck kind of situation like a lot of Americans. And because my whiskey is so smooth and so good, I was told, John, you could probably get $50, $60 a bottle for it. And I said, yeah, we're not doing that because where I come from, people don't have $50 or $60 to spend on a bottle of anything. Let's make it under $25 so America's working class can afford to drink the good stuff. Oh, by the way, I'm going to give 10% or my tithe on every bottle back to the Folds of Honor. Well, when we put all that together as a narrative and you got a product that good, that's how you wind up in 48 states in 18 months.
Well, buddy, it's in my liquor cabinet. It's on my boat. I drink it with my mom, who's the same age as Granny Rich. And let me ask you, she's still working, isn't she?
She is. So she's a seamstress. So she's, you know, she's the lady that'll do everything from him in your blue jeans to, you know, taking a wedding dress down four sizes. I mean, she's just an incredible seamstress. That's how she's been that her entire life, which, by the way, is a dying art. There's not a lot of people that can still do what she does. So she runs her own business 40 hours a week and has no assistant, no help. She unlocks that door, has her a cup of coffee, smokes a Marlboro Red, and opens the door, and here come the customers. When she gets through working that day, she goes home, kicks her feet up, has a little Redneck Riviera whiskey, and that's probably why she's 87 and still running her own business, because she likes to work. And if you ask Granny, Granny, why are you still working 40 hours a week at 87 years old? She'll look at you and squint those eyes a little bit and say, because I can, and that's what you're supposed to do if you live in this country. That is her answer.
That's America right there, JR.
That's right. I look up to her. She is an example to me. She was an example to my dad, who also has worked his butt off his whole life. He's a preacher and had to take on all kinds of extra jobs to pay the bills. And guess what? Always paid the bills. Always kept the boat floating. Always kept the nose above water. So I've grown up watching people like that. And you say, John, do you ever slow down? Well, hell no, I don't slow down. Why would you slow down when you're fortunate enough to be one of the very few human beings that were born in the United States of America and get to live here every day and chase what we call the American dream, which, by the way, our Constitution doesn't guarantee us happiness. It guarantees us the right to pursue happiness. And that's a big problem in this country, that people think they should be happy, they should be satisfied, they should have everything that they want when they want it. That is not what it says. It says you have the right to go pursue it. And in the fact that you have the right to pursue it should make you happy if you're really a patriot to this country. That is the whole point, and that's why I go at it so hard.
You know, in your song, Shut Up About Politics, you have a line in there said, you punch left, I punch right. As you know, I worked forever in country radio, and I enjoyed it. And I wouldn't get the time to do what I'm doing right now, to sit down and really delve into what makes an artist and what he believes. And then there's many artists that would never share information like this or let you know that, you know what, I am a conservative American, and I do believe that you should work for a living. I was working conservative political radio in Chicago, and you think about that. You can't be a conservative talk show in Chicago, because the basis of what you just talked about, the pursuit of happiness, doesn't mean that we pay off college loans. It doesn't mean that we all delve into a new Green Deal that we don't know crap about. But it seems to me that we've turned a corner in this world where all of a sudden everybody is expecting the other guy to help them up. And that we can't survive as a nation like that.
That's not what pushed us to where we are. That is a fact. I mean, entrepreneurism, hard work, gambling on yourself, betting on your own ideas, failing most of the time, and then maybe you get that one win that turns it all around. That's the American dream. Have you ever heard the word dream associated with any other country? You ever heard about the British dream or the Canadian dream or the Chinese dream or the or the Brazilian dream. I mean, of course you haven't, and you never will. You hear about the American dream because we're the only country that has built into our Constitution that you have the right to pursue happiness. You have the right, whatever that means to you. We're not going to get in your way. That's when I see government becoming too big and too intrusive, and they start getting in the way of people chasing the American dream, that's when we got to stand up and say, no, no, I don't think so. And that's what I like to see today is our unemployment rate is so low. People are actually able to keep more of their own money and invest it back into their own ideas and chase their version of the American dream. That's what this country is all about. That's why we're the most powerful and greatest country that's ever existed. And if we ever get away from that, we will lose our status as the greatest country on the earth. It can happen. And people that think that it can't are kidding themselves. It may take generations to see it happen, but you put the wrong person in office for long enough, and it will go into motion like that. And I don't intend on seeing that happening.
John, if I could have you just turn 90 degrees to the right. I got a little bit of a cell phone issue there for a second.
90 degrees to the right. Hang on, let me stick my arm out and aim it at the moon. Hold on a minute.
Hey, buddy.
You got me now?
You know, And when we talk about this, you know, we could talk about your song Shut Up About Politics, great. But this is something that you believed in for a long time. There was a song you did that personally for me, it should be the Michigan State song. You did a song called Shutting Detroit Down. And again, this is about everybody. This is about hardworking class men and women. And we need to get back to what makes us a great country. Buy from here. Let's drive American cars. Let's drink American whiskey, Redneck Riviera whiskey, available at your local Jewel Osco and Benny's. But this is something you've done for a long time, and I can't see how anybody could ever have an issue with it.
Well, the only reason I've been able to do what I've done is because I had the great fortune of being born in this country. And having examples like my dad, my Granny Rich, and my granddaddy, you know, who fought in World War II and became a farmer. And, I mean, you know, watching people work hard. Hard work is actually – there's a lot of integrity to hard work. There's integrity to struggling. There's integrity to shooting for that next level and it taking everything you got to grab that next rung and pull yourself up another foot. There's integrity to that. And for people to say – no, I shouldn't have to struggle. I shouldn't have to pull my own body weight up to that next rung on that very tall ladder. It's just incorrect. It goes against what our country stands for. Now, there are a lot of people in our country that do need help. And guess what? We help those people. Like you talked about St. Jude Children's Hospital or Folds of Honor. As Americans, I want to determine where my charitable dollars go. I don't want the government taking all my money, and we know what they do with it.
Right.
They blow it.
Right.
They spend it on stuff that is just so stupid. I mean, you can't even believe it. It's just choke every time you write your IRS check because you know what they're going to do with it. So that's the way I view it. I think Americans are the most charitable people in the world, and we take care of each other when we see somebody needs it.
Before I let you go, because I know you're busy, I know that you're a guy that is steeped in tradition, but you're always progressive. You're always moving ahead. I just want to get your views real quick on 16th Avenue in Nashville, the way Nashville is changing. And I know you're a guy that built an awesome house in Nashville that had your neighbors going freaking nuts. But what do you think of what's going on? Does seeing Bobby's Idle Hour on the Avenue and some of those row houses where music basically got made and Ray Stevens' place, does a guy like John Rich get a little sentimental when it comes to that?
Oh, big time. I mean, you know, Music Row, 16th and 17th Avenue is where country music really was born. I mean, I guess you could say the Ryman Auditorium as well, which it's still there, thank God. But all the songwriting happens on those two streets, and the recording of those songs happens on those two streets. Yeah, they're knocking buildings down in the middle of the night. You know, something that's been there. I remember when Porter Wagner's studio got knocked down in the middle of the night, I went, where in the hell did his studio just go?
Right on.
And coming to find out, some contractor had come in there in the middle of the night and just started knocking down buildings. Of course, they'll just pay the fine. So, no, I don't like seeing it dismantled like it's being dismantled. I think our city should have protected it, honestly, and not let that happen. But country music has gotten so big that it's very corporate. So it's not like it used to be where it was, more mom and pop and more one-on-one, and the development was really personal. The development of artists now is very corporate, very it's got an equation that they put around it. You've got to hit these marks if you want to be in this thing. And no, I don't like it, but it, I guess it's part of the beast that you're dealing with. And I'll tell you from my end, like I said, with no radio, no radio play, and no record label, I had the number one best-selling song in country music a couple of weeks ago.
Things have changed.
So, I mean, there's other ways to skin the cat, brother. And as long as I'm enthusiastic and passionate about wanting to get my music out there, I'll figure it out one way or the other.
You know, as much as guys like you and I love throwbacks, we also like the new stuff. It's what keeps us going. I just have to ask you before we let you go, and this is John Rich, by the way. I know you and I are fans of a guy, and you've had a chance to work with him, produce him. I know you worked on his song and album, Easy Money. In the John Anderson song, 1959, why didn't anybody just come out and say that Betty was a bitch?
Yeah, you know what? I love John A. Matter of fact, I have a painting of him hanging up on the wall in my house. It's probably the biggest piece of art in my house is a painting of John Anderson. To me, I say he's the George Jones of our generation because nobody sounds like John Anderson, just like nobody sounded like George Jones. And you know, he and I wrote Shutting Detroit Down together. You're right. Signed, Love Betty, 1959.
Well, he goes away to war, and Betty,
he's...
I was listening to that.
Why does he even care?
John.
Why does he even care where she's at? I don't.
John, my girlfriend, her name's Gina. She's 36 years old, and I introduce her to some of the classics from time to time. We do music nights in my house, and you know that my daughter's an artist, and we're into it. And she goes, "Could you play that back?" So you're telling me that when this guy went away to war, Betty left him. She's a bitch.
I would say no doubt about it. And you know, if John Anderson wasn't such a nice guy, that's probably how he would have written that, don't you think?
Well, brother, it's always good to catch up with you. I love what you do. Nashville is being visited by millions and millions of people every month. It's gone crazy. When you get down that way, you got to pass up every other bar on Broadway, and you've got to get to the Redneck Riviera, and there's a little neon sign in the window just to the left of the front door on Broadway, and it's a neon sign that says John is in the house, and probably one
if
of the
I'm
only
there it's if I'm there it's lit up. That's correct. And our first bar on the first floor, we call it the Heroes Bar. So if you're active duty or a vet or a first responder, when you go into Redneck Riviera, the red carpet gets rolled out. We'll comp drinks. We'll take care of those folks first and foremost. And I got to tell you, I'm proud of that. I don't know a lot of the bars that do anything like that.
I don't know a lot of bars where you can go in and see the guy that owns it, to see the guy that's, you know, and I mean no disrespect to the other guys, but you're there, you live it, you breathe it. The things you do for these guys, and the men and women and first responders and our, you know, our everyday heroes that fought for our country and continue to do so, it's unprecedented what you do.
Well, maybe I'll set an example and other people will follow. I know we've got a lot of patriotic guys and girls in country music, and I guess I consider myself luckier than them because I don't have a big company telling me what to say and when I can say it.
Right on.
So I want to keep it that way.
Well, buddy, I always appreciate the time, and to the listeners of the to the Ramblin' Ray Show. If I sound like I love this guy, it's because I do. So appreciate it, man.
Well, I appreciate you. We've been friends a long time, man. And talk about a guy that keeps punching and keeps coming at him, man. I mean, you and I are cut from the same cloth. I'm proud of you, and always happy to be on your show.
Love you, brother. You be well.
Thanks, Ray. We'll see you.
John Rich on the Ramblin' Ray Show.